둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
There we go. We're live. Hold on. Let me swap it over.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here. Please do hit that subscribe button if you're not already. You're going to get new interviews just like this one sent your way every single week. Of course, you can grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. We've had some great guests drop by lately. Audrey Nuna was just here. You know her as one of the voices of the K-pop Demon Hunters. We also talked with Penelope Ann Miller and Erica Christensen about the movie After All. Florence Welch, lead singer of Florence and the Machine. They've got a brand new record that we got to talk about called Everybody's Scream. We also hung out with Famke Janssen to discuss Amsterdam Empire, playing now on Netflix. Let's see here. Kaiser Chiefs, Teenage Fan Club, Moby, MJ Rodriguez, and Ron Funches, Broken Social Scene. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest is actor Pearson Fodey. Now, it was only a little bit ago that I had the cast of The Wrong Paris on here. Most of the cast. I did not have Pearson. And so now it's nice that he drops by, although we're not actually talking about The Wrong Paris. He's got another movie. In fact, he's got four movies out this year. Like, it's happening for him. His latest is a new Netflix holiday rom-com called A Merry Little Xmas, where he stars alongside Alicia Silverstone, Oliver Hudson, Melissa Joan Hart, Jamila Jamil. And Pearson and I are going to dive into embracing his shirtless slow-mo guy reputation, the art of balancing humor and self-awareness in Christmas movies, and what makes Netflix seasonal films so addictive. He'll also talk about this breakout year, juggling multiple projects, his activism work, his Washington family farm roots, and shooting the upcoming The Last Mrs. Parrish with Robert Zemeckis and Jennifer Lopez. It'll be all of that and a whole lot more as we dig into A Merry Little Xmas. It's Kyle Meredith with Pearson Fodey.
I love your backdrop, man. This is fantastic.
It's a whole lot more exciting to look at than just me.
No, come on.
Keep the heroes there. Let them do all the heavy lifting.
That's a great way to look at it. I do the same thing, man.
I mean, that's nice what you got behind you there. It's, you know, a little humble brags, I think. It's,
yeah, you know what? It keeps me inspired during the day. I'm like, hey, I've done something. I've done something that meant something to someone, so I'll take it.
No, that can keep you inspired, but that could go the other way as well, right? Like, I've done something. I don't need to do anything today.
Yeah. I'm going to take a nap, actually.
A Merry Little Xmas, your newest. Mm-hmm. I thought surely by this point they had run out of titles for Christmas movies, and and they just found another one. So
they keep cranking them out, and boy, they'll menagerie a title together any way they can.
Used to be like you could strive to be like a Christmas card maker to come up with the stuff, but I think it's if you can still do the Christmas movies at this point, that's a new career right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely it is. It pays the bills.
Congrats on it, though. This is such a fun little movie, too,
that
you guys have done here. And even before I get into that, your year, I mean, it really seems like something's happening here, like, all at once.
Yeah.
Is that perception, or is that the real thing?
I think that is the real thing. You know, I think perception is reality, but also like it's been such a great year, especially coming out of the pandemic and then coming off of the strikes. I pushed my team and I pushed myself really, really hard to like, let's not go back, you know, let's move forward with an absolute, you know, conquering mindset of let's take over. Let's do the best that we possibly can. And it's paid off, you know, like this is my third movie that came out this year, fourth movie. And then, you know, we're still waiting for distribution on one more. And so like, it's incredible. And I'm shooting with Bob Zemeckis right now. Like I couldn't be, you know, I'm pinching myself on set every day. I'm just like, Bobby, I love you so much. Literally, I was just at the IMAX screening of the 40th anniversary of Back to the Future.
I'm doing that with my son right after we get off of this, by the way.
No way.
Yeah.
It's so good.
That's what I'm
it's
doing.
It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I mean. Like to be in that position, because you've been a working actor now for quite a while.
Yeah.
And that's how the story goes, right? Like you do the work and you build towards something. And then if the stars align, it's all at once is usually the all at once that you're the overnight success, right? That's
yeah. It takes 15 years to become an overnight success. That's the great beauty of all of it.
But it is interesting too, because, you know, even to get to the point where you can make the choices.
Yeah.
Like you've got different roles happening here, but of course I also did some interviews, not with you, but with The Wrong Paris, the cast of that too. And seeing you in that and seeing you in this hunky role, that like even that, like, is that a choice you make at some point to say, you know what, if I beef up even more than I am, that's going to open all these doors? Is that part of that that strategy?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's, you know, there's certainly a fine line of getting too beefed up and staying lean, and then getting too lean and not beefed up enough, because, you know, you want to, like, for instance, of course, I'm just going to point at myself. So like the No Kiss List back here, that was like 14, 13 years ago, something like that. And that one, I was still kind of at my modeling weight. I was 180 pounds and I was lean, green machine. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm 215 pounds in The Wrong Paris. And that's 13 years apart. So you got some time to put on some size. But yeah, I think, you know, you have to be aware of the medium that you're trying to get into, and then also the audience that you're trying to cater to, you know. And I use my body as kind of the template for, hey, this is how I want the character to be perceived, especially if I'm shirtless. You know, I'm going to be hopefully in a slow-mo rewound moment that goes viral. Let's go.
I mean, that's
it.
The moment in both of these movies right there too.
Yeah, this and Mary Little Xmas, there's some good slow-mo.
Yeah, that's
I think that's going to be my title from here on out, shirtless slow-mo guy.
That's it? Yeah, that's all you need?
That's
it'll
all
do
I
the
need.
Work for you.
It's simple. It pays the bills, let me tell you.
I imagine it does, and it's working for you. And I don't know what you're doing with Zemeckis. I sort of don't expect that that's what you're doing with Zemeckis, but...
very, very different.
Right.
It's a very cool role, though, let me tell you. It's so much fun, but yeah, it is very different from the other roles that I've been doing.
And that's the important part, is what I'm getting to. It's like, it's not that you're just shirtless slow-mo guy,
yeah,
but you know how to make that work for you as well.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where it's like you build up an audience in a certain way, and then you give them something new, you know, surprise them with something different. And I think that's what we've been able to do and accomplish. And I've been really blessed, man. You know, I've worked my ass off for so long, and you know, this is a moment that I got a chance to perform in front of Zemeckis, and he liked what I had to offer, and you know, I booked it. And I think that's the key, is like all the hard work and preparation meeting with that one opportunity that pays off.
And I know we probably can't say much about it, but the title is out there. The Last Mrs. Parrish, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just so we know what we're looking for eventually.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
Me, Jennifer Lopez, Nikolai Coster-Waldau,
Debbie Mazar.
Yeah.
Yeah, saw that line on there, or that name on there too. Like, that's
a
cool cast. And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Pearson Fodey. And speaking of, and for Merry Little Xmas, I mean, what a cool cast.
Oh my God, yeah.
You know, you're working with Alicia Silverstone, Melissa Joan Hart, among others. I mean, that's, like I said, to kind of come into this, and let's talk about this, because your character, by the way, he's fun. Like, these lines have got to be a lot of fun when you get it, because... He like total puppy dog energy, right?
Yep. I had a blast, man. Like, and puppy dog energy is correct. Like, that was kind of my motto for Chet the entire time, was like, he's a golden retriever. He's happy Everywhere he goes in the present moment, he is there for you. No matter where you're at, he'll be there for you. And he's happy. Like, even if the worst thing is happening, which you can see many times does happen, he's just like, oh, this is great. You know, we'll find a way out of it. No big deal. It's all good.
Was it like that on paper? Is that something you actually built from the script?
Yeah, you know, there's moments of it on paper. We went through a lot of drafts in the beginning. I remember the character was kind of different. He was a little bit more supposed to be suave and cool initially. And, you know, Steve had done some rewrites, our director, and Netflix had given some rewrites. And so there's, and the writer had been rewriting stuff. And so we were really finding the character kind of as we went. And the more we found it, the more I was able to improvise and play off of stuff. And Steve let me run wild as often as possible. And Netflix was really happy with the product that was coming back. And so there's so many times where we'd just be throwing lines out. And, you know, because of the base that we have with the script and what the writers gave us, it gives us the opportunity to play in that sandbox. And so we really developed Chet as we were shooting quite often.
The Big Bablowski, was that the...
Oh, yeah, the Big Leplowski.
Yeah, big, that's it. That's right. Yeah. That's,
yeah. that one was written. That was their thing. That was,
really?
That was all
yeah.
them. Yeah.
It feels like it could have been improv. Anyway.
Yeah. There's a possibility. Maybe it was. It's probably written. I don't want to take credit for that.
But like, it is fun because, you know, I was kind of joking about the title at the beginning, and it's a fun title. But it's also like the Christmas genre, right? Well, like when it became a genre a handful of years ago, to the point where very quickly the cliche started happening and you have to buy into it and also be ready for some self-awareness. At least that's my perception. And there's both of those that goes on in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, like, absolutely.
Like when you're signing up for it, you sort of know what you're getting into.
Yeah. You know, with, I think with specifically like the Christmas genre, and I think Netflix has done a really good job of like, kind of hollowing out their niche for it because they do so many in a year. And they also do so well and cater to an audience around the world. I think they've found their perfect niche of it. So yeah, I think you go in aware of the medium and the playground that you're playing inside of, and then you're able to kind of expand off of that and try to do things that maybe somebody else hasn't done before, not take yourself seriously. And I think that was one of the fun things that I got to do with Chet. And it's kind of one of my favorite things, like when I'm not number one on a call sheet, I get to be the guy where it's like, I get to kind of take all the chances and there's no pressure on me to do it. And I love it so much because it's like, you can always just cut that out. And they're like, yeah, that's a good point. And I was like, just cut out whatever you don't like, go for it. And so there's a lot of fun and lightness that I really enjoy with movies like this.
Like I said, there's some self-awareness there too, because you talk about the rules of a Christmas movie, because there's sort of rules, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely like, you know, don't do anything that's like R-rated. Don't do anything that's like going to upset children on Christmas. You know, just the little simple things. Try to keep a positive spirit about the whole thing.
We're going to have a happy ending.
Happy ending. We always need a happy ending. I also think that's necessary for the kind of the climate we're in with so many things in life where it's like, hey, go outside, touch grass, watch a Christmas movie. Okay, it'll all be okay. We're all going to survive this. It's going to be good. You know, life is okay if you just enjoy yourself a little bit. Step off the social media. It's fine.
You get into that a bit too. Like there's an activism part of your life, right?
Yeah.
Or there has been in the past at least. Is that still as much?
Yeah, very much so. You know, I'm pretty involved with our family farm back home in Washington State. I went back there during the strike and I helped my dad, you know, buck bales across Washington to different equestrian farms. Oddly enough, we delivered some to the same equestrian farms that we shot the wrong Paris at. I rode the same horse that was raised in the town I grew up in, you know. And then also, you know, I don't know if I'm fully allowed to say this, so we're gonna find, I can, it's gonna be okay. We're going to Washington, D.C. to do a World War II honoring of the veterans that are still alive. And like Tom Cruise has done this before and Glenn Powell did it. And I think it's a really special thing that we get to do to like honor the people that came before us, that set up the country that we live in, that, you know, perfect or imperfect, it's this thing that these people put their lives on the line. And I think that's really important that we remember that. My grandfather was in the Army, you know, and so I think it's awesome that I get to remember that. I have so many friends that are still in the Marines and still in the Army, still in the Navy and the Air Force. And I want them to know that I'm in full support of them, you know?
I love that. I've got two nephews that are following in their dad's footsteps right now.
Oh,
the same
awesome.
Thing in the Army. So actually seeing them kind of, you know, start with the ROTC and go on and
yeah,
and
It's
just
important, man. You know, that's a noble thing that they do.
yeah. Well, it's great that it's a noble thing that you're doing too, to actually
Oh,
still
thank
take
you.
the time for that,
Thank you.
I don't know, feed that part of your life,
Yeah,
you know.
absolutely. I think it's really cool, and it's a special thing. You know, telling stories is an awesome way that we get to entertain and hopefully give the world a little bit of respite and inspire people to hopefully be better, do a little bit better, and also just take a break. You know, it's okay.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Pearson Fauday. Jumping off a laughing point a minute ago too, because you know you're talking about the family farm and everything which you grew up on, and you mentioned the stuff behind me, because as I was prepping for this, I was thinking, like, I can't, so, like, I live in the world of music. I run a radio station here in Louisville, WFPK, and I thought, I can't pinpoint your lane. Because you got the farm thing and cliche stereotype, like maybe he's into the country music, but then there's Washington State, and like, nope, that throws that part out right
Yeah,
there.
Nirvana, Foo Fighters, you know, we got it all.
Yeah, like you're a, you know, film buff growing up and everything, and a lot of times, like, well, that sends people towards musicals, but that doesn't exactly seem like you're, you know, that's,
Nope.
yeah. Like,
Yeah.
what was, if you had any, like, what was maybe the most important show that you went to in high school?
Show as in like a theater?
Concert.
A concert. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a really good question. You know, I was homeschooled up until like freshman or sophomore year, and I went to like our college at the same time. So I didn't really go to a whole lot of concerts. I remember, I think we saw the Newsboys, if I'm not mistaken,
I've
back in
seen
the
the
day.
Newsboys plenty back then.
Yeah, that was something that was really cool. DC Talk back in the day. You know, that those were shows that were really epic and exciting for me. And, you know, I think to this day now my favorite show of all time is seeing Hans Zimmer live. Like that's the pinnacle of my concert going
I
experience
bet
by
that would be
far.
incredible. I've never seen any of the scoring guys do the live shows, and I've always thought that would be, because Trent Reznor tried to do a whole festival this year with nothing but the folks that scored, you know, that was the whole
Really?
lineup, and then it fell apart. And my guess was that it was people's schedules just changed so often. Like, how are you going to do that anyway?
That's got to be super hard. Yeah. Oh my God. I would have loved to have gone to that. That would have been because I was emotional at the Hans Zimmer thing, and I don't really get emotional at a lot of shows, but like that's the peak, you know?
Yeah. That's interesting. All right. You've sent me in different ways now, so it's
Yeah.
enjoy that. That's fun. That's fun.
Oh, you know what? Here's a good one. I just saw my buddy Josh Dunn had the 21 Pilot show here at in LA, and that was phenomenal. He and Debbie are my best friends from back in the Jesse days, and man, they crushed it. They put on an incredible show. That's probably, if I had to pick a favorite rock and roll genre show that I've ever seen, it's theirs,
That's
you
it.
know,
They're they
outside
are.
of.
They're great. Yeah. I had them on this show 10, 12 years ago or
Oh
whatever,
yeah.
and it's still one of my favorite interviews I've ever done. You know.
Really? What'd you
Yeah,
guys
just
talk
'cause they're
about?
great. Yeah, they're just it's they're fun, you know.
Yeah,
It's
they're just good guys. Josh and Tyler are so sweet, and they're just down to earth, and they just make good music, and they're good humans, and I think that's important, man.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And I again say the same thing about you. You're making good movies out there. You're doing great work. You're
Thank
putting
you.
good stuff into the world. And a merry little Xmas right along with that. Yeah, seriously. And I cannot wait to see what's up your all sleeve with Zemeckis and this the last Mrs. Parrish movie, because I mean, of
Yeah.
course, the guy's a legend, the cast is legendary, so
Oh my
and all the
God,
other
yeah.
things. So yeah, man.
I'm pretty thrilled. I've seen some of the dailies, and it's incredible, man. Like it's you see why he is Bob Zemeckis, you know, every day.
Well, congrats on a year and all the stuff yet to come too.
Thank you
It's
very much.
been such a pleasure talking to you about it, man. Thank you so much.
You as well. We'll do another one soon, I'm sure.
All right, my thanks to Pearson. A Merry Little Xmas is out now on Netflix. And thanks to you for checking out the episode. If you're not already, hit that subscribe button before you get out of here. You're going to help me out and you're going to enrich your life as well. You can find us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions. Or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith with. And again, please do give the series a rating and leave a review. Those always help out so much. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where you'll find me every weeknight starting 6 p.m. Eastern. with 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s, the best in new music and bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Sonic Youth, Monte Coppola, Doves, Judy Collins, Pearl Jam, Cake, Metric, Patti Smith, Sampa, Gillian Welch, Brandi Carlile, Pink Floyd, Jimmy Cliff, The Rat Boys, Nerf Herder, Dream Academy, Chet Faker, and my interviews with Michael Chiklis, Mary Stuart Masterson, Rob Corddry, and Idina Menzel. That's what you hear when you tune in weeknights starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always at Kyle Meredith. Please do like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Get some naps in.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.